recording of Brian Chu. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes.
Chu. And recording is being done at 2101 Hampton. And if you could just start by giving this information, going right down that.
Okay, my name is Brian Chu. I am 19. My major is hotel, restaurant, and industrial management. My hometown is Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I guess you could describe Fort Lauderdale as a place for the college students. Nice hot weather. I've traveled quite a bit. I've been to New York, Boston. Consider going to school here in Michigan, traveling since I don't live here. Been to California, in quite a few other states. I've traveled out of the U.S. to Europe and visited Switzerland and, Austria, Italy, West Germany. I've been to the eastern part of Canada and western part.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have one younger brother who's just started a freshman in high school. Then my mom is a real estate agent, and my father is also in the hotel business. And he right now runs a hotel in Cape Cod, and he, during the off season, he is a consultant.
I assume that anybody going to college experiences a shock initially. Coming from high school to college, it seems to vary on how intense it is. Can you talk a little bit about that? Maybe if you didn't experience such a thing, tell me that, or just what are your feelings on that?
It wasn't so much as a shock as being put out on your own, because I myself, when I was in high school, my parents were always working, so I was very responsible growing up, and the only real shock I had was the difference in the schoolwork itself. Say, you have to really put in a lot more of your own time. I mean, you have no one behind you pushing you all the way. You have to be disciplined to work much harder at your grades, it seems.
Who pushed you in high school?
For me, I wasn't pushed too much by my parents because they always believed that I did fine on my own. But it seemed like you had a lot of grades all the time, so you had to be very current with your work because you'd be tested a couple times a week. So you always had something there that you knew that you had to do well in.
But isn't that the same in college?
Well, in college, you have, the whole time in the class, you could have as much as 1 to 2 exams the whole time, so you have to be studying even though there's no tests there. I mean, you have to keep up with your work.
Now, how about the social aspect of living in the dorms? Did that come, were there any surprises there? I mean, here you are, you're confined suddenly in a 12x12 room with one roommate? Can you talk about that part of your adjustment?
It wasn't too hard. I mean, as long as you find someone that's compatible with you, it can work pretty well. It's hard sometimes being with a roommate and in a room confined all the time. You feel like you just want to get away. Go somewhere else besides living in the dorm. Sometimes it can be an inconvenience too, because if your roommate doesn't have any homework and he wants to socialize, say party or whatever, and you have a lot of work to do and he feels it's his room and he wants to have his friends over, and you sort of have conflicts sometimes, so that's a big change.
Have you had conflicts like that?
Yes.
Can you describe one? You don't have to incriminate anyone here. I'm not asking you to nail anybody to the wall, but...
Well, lately, I've been having a lot of trouble with my roommate because he parties a lot. And he's the type of student who doesn't need to study much. He's very gifted and he gets great grades without studying. So, and I have to work really hard for mine, so what happens is he'll have 3-4 friends come over, and they'll party and stay up real late. And
here in your room?
In my room. And that really doesn't bother me, because I will go to study lounge, which I rather do anyways, and study. It's just I'll come back at, say, 1 o'clock to go to sleep, and there'll be 4 or 5 people in my room. So it's a little disturbing.
What do you say to them?
Well, there's not much to say. You just take them to the side and say, hey, you know, I'm going to sleep. Sometimes it can be a pain, because he'll say, okay, I'll keep it quiet, and all night long there'll be something going on that keeps you up. Or he'll just say, all right, we'll go somewhere else. It varies.
Well, it can't all be, I'm sure it isn't, all tension. Have you had some crazy water fights? Has all hell broken loose on the hall once in a while?
Well,
could you describe such a thing if it has?
The floor I live on is very unique. It's very loud floor, and everyone stays up extremely late. I'd say most of our night receptionists live on our floor, and so everyone likes to stay up late, and they have a lot of social activity going on, and we do a lot of crazy things. We've had lots of water fights. Another thing our floor likes to do is in the middle of the night, because everyone goes out into the lobby, say there'll be 6 people to go keep company to the night receptionist, they'll make up newsletters, and we'll post them on the bulletin board, totally bizarre from any type of subject. And they do like the top 10 list, like they do from David Letterman. They'll put, say, top 10 list why not to study, or it can vary. I mean, all extremes. Right now, we have a bulletin on the best part contest, hair part, and they have all kinds of things going on for that. It's quite amusing.
What is your major?
Hotel and restaurant management.
Have you actually started taking courses which are directly related to that field, or is it too soon?
Well, it's too soon for the more important ones, but I have taken a food class where you go in and you once a week you have a lab that you cook. You learn about what happens to certain particles if you cook them this way or if you mix certain ingredients. It's a basic food class, but it was really interesting.
Jumping back from your major to dorm life again, is there a problem with drugs and alcohol, that sort of thing?
Well, you get your drugs and alcohol everywhere, I assume. You have your groups, like on our floor we have a couple guys that do drugs. Everybody knows it, you know, no one puts them down or influence them in any way, and they don't say anything to anybody else either. And then I guess in college life there's always a lot of drinking, and our floor seems, since it's really loud and very social, our floor seems to have a lot of parties and likes to drink quite a bit. No real problems with it.
Can you see living in the dorm indefinitely?
I'm going to live there next year, for sure. Then after that, I'm thinking about moving off campus, not because I don't like the dorm. I think it'd just be better off for me financially and also maybe academic.
Could study more easily?
Yeah, more easily, and then I won't have as many, I won't be influenced to say if I hear something going on to leave and go outside, be with other people.
What do you see yourself doing in 10 years? What do you think you would like to be? Do you have a goal?
Yes, I believe that I'd like to be managing some type of hotel or managing some position in a hotel.
Where did this interest come from?
Well, it's basically come from my father. Being raised, my father's always been in the hotel and restaurant business. I've just been raised, and we've had a lot of parties at our house where my dad entertains, say, 20 to 30 people for dinner. And I was always around to help, so I always helped him out and enjoyed it.
Would he do the cooking and all of that, or would he?
Yeah, he'd do everything. He loves to cook. I love to cook. say we've had a lot of parties where we've had, say, 25 people, had a, say, a 12-course dinner that we do all the cooking.
So you're clear about what you want to do.
Yes. I enjoy cooking a lot, and I enjoy being with people and being able to socialize. Like, I look at what my father does, and he spends a lot of time working, or what other people call working, which he calls, you know, his life, because he enjoys it, you know. He enjoys being with people, and he has to socialize all the time. It's like a promotion, and it just seems really exciting.
Did your father put pressure on you to do the same, to be, you know, become involved in the same occupation?
No, my parents haven't put any pressure on me to go any way. It was all, they figured I had to make my own decisions in life, so do what I want, or else I wouldn't be any good at it.
Did you ever have any other dreams at a younger age? Did you want to be something else?
I didn't think I had any real dreams when I was younger. It was more just very open, wasn't sure on what, because I knew there were so many things you could do in life.
Do you have some kind of perspective on your clarity and your approach in comparison to what's going on around you among the other students? Do you know what I'm asking?
Not.
Well, there are a lot of freshmen there, and they're just starting out, and many of them will, I don't know how many, but quite a few will eventually change majors. Mm-hmm. Will spend a lot of time searching for something. And when you hop from one field to another, that's a big change.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if you have any awareness of the difference between yourself and your point of view towards focusing on hotel management or whatever, and other people.
Well, I figure every person has their right to what they want to choose, and I figure people should choose what best interests them.
Well, how about your roommate, for example? What's he majoring in?
He's majoring in scientific writing for journals and things. And I mean, he's a great writer. He writes a lot of poems and everything. And he just is very interested in science, along with his talent of writing. So,
do you have a basic standard, material standard that you're shooting for? And can you see the type of house, the living conditions, and so forth that you would like in 10 or 15 years? I mean, you described what your goal was, but has it gotten that concrete?
Well, I mean, everyone wants to make money, or lots of money. I mean, it just seems that I'd like to live very, very nice life where I can have a nice house, be married, and be able to support most of my needs and a lot of my wants, too. I mean,
there are a lot of problems in the world, obvious ones, where people have nothing. And are you aware of any feeling that your parents have had, or that you have in connection with trying to help people in these third world countries or in poor? I mean, is there any of the social worker in you, or?
Well, I mean, I feel bad for the people and everything, but I also think that each individual, they have some type of choice too, where we can't exactly, we can help in certain ways, but you can't start focusing your life around their problems. I'm aware of it, but I realize also that I can't base my whole life on trying to change another world, because one person isn't going to be able to change that much.
One of the and this is indicated in one of my questions, one of the criticisms of students of this generation is that they lack the idealism of students in the 60s, who were forever protesting and wanting to right the world, etc. Now, many of those who were protesting in the 60s are working in banks today, so I don't know how long their protesting went on. But do you agree with that assessment of the mentality of have you thought about the what today's student is really like as contrasted with the way he might have been a generation ago?
It's changed quite a bit. I guess the students today believe that they don't have as much power as in changing things. That things, say the government or issues of war, are more set in that their voice is not going to be strongly heard. I guess people are being more focused towards themselves now instead of a group.
Did you consider at any point following an alternate path instead of going from high school to college and then into a career to do something else, to work professionally in the field in some capacity or to try a vocation of some kind before going to school?
Not at first. I thought the best thing to do was go to college and get your best education as possible and try your hardest to make the grades to get the education. But now that I'm in college, I realize that it's really difficult and I want to keep going through college. But if times start getting really hard for me, I realize that what I want to do, I don't really need as much the education. It'd help a lot, but if I cannot handle it, like as in academic-wise, that doesn't mean everything, because I could still go out, and if I work many different jobs, I can still get the education from working.
So you're confident that you're going to make it one way or another?
Yeah.
Well, how would you evaluate the teachers you've had, and have you felt challenged?
Yes, a lot of the teachers are, they're concerned about their students. The ones that I've talked to and met with, they seem to be very interested in trying to teach as much as possible. I have run into one bad case where this term, as a matter of fact, I have an ATL literature teacher that she
ATL?
Yeah, American Thought and Language. And she doesn't seem very interested. She's a very sophisticated lady. She's extremely smart. I feel that she thinks of us as a lower level and not being able, because she comes into class and she just starts talking and throwing things off the top of her mind that have not much to do with, and it's hard to understand what she's getting at. This term we've written, our grades have been based on one term paper and another short essay. She hasn't spent much time on it, where the course packet said that this whole term was supposed to be spent on a research paper and how to work on it, where she hasn't done that. I feel that I haven't really gotten what I should have.
How many are in the class?
This class, I'd say there's about 30.
Do you participate in class? I mean, do you have a chance to ask questions?
Yeah, she does. It's not more questions, because she'll sit down and she'll start reading about an author or something, and she'll just start talking. She'll talk for 15 minutes, and then, you know, no one really talks, or she doesn't ask questions or anything. She doesn't get any opinions from anybody.
Describe a good professor you've had and why.
Let's see, I have this really good professor for a nutrition class, and she's very concerned about all our students, it seems. She's teaching about food and nutrition, and she wants the students to learn not just for grades, but she wants to educate them on health, so they can go out and use what she's teaching for their sake. And she'll help the student any way she can. She if you talk to her, she'll give you all kinds of help as much as possible. You know, I believe she's a really good professor.
Is there a good question and answer period there? I mean, is there dialogue between the students and her?
Well, she lectures. It's a lecture, but if there are any questions at all, she emphasizes to ask them. And she answers all questions, and if you have any questions that you don't want, she really wants you to go to her office, and she'll discuss them with you personally.
Do you have any classes where you're watching a TV monitor?
Yes, I have a computer
class. Can
you
talk about those?
It's quite different.
Which class is this?
It's my computers class. I guess it's good in some ways and bad in another. It's bad not actually having a professor there. It feels sort of like you're being cheated out of your money. It's also good where, if you miss a lecture, you can go see another one. Or if you don't understand the lecture, you can see it over again. But in some of the lectures on the TV, they're not very clear sometimes. Like, he's not getting the point across, so you can't exactly, right then, if you don't understand something right at that point, stop him and ask him.
How many in the class?
I'd say there's about 40 to 50.
Does anybody sleep?
I'd imagine so. A lot of people just get up and leave because the only type of attendance is a quiz. So in the quizzes we have every day, there are only 2 points. You either get them or you don't. And so people turn the quiz in and leave, or they just will not get credit for it.
Okay, so your father is Chinese, right?
Yes.
Did he experience prejudice because as a member of a minority group?
As a matter of fact, when my father and mother went to go get married, they were living in Virginia at the time, and when they went to get married, it was against the law for them to get married because it was an interracial marriage. So they had to drive to Washington, D.C. to get married.
But has he expressed any bitterness because of being Chinese and being an object of some persecution in this country, legally and otherwise?
No, not really. He's always been very open, and he can take whatever criticism comes his way. But he's been very determined, so it hasn't interfered with him at all.
Well, how do you feel about this part of your heritage? Do you view it matter-of-factly, as a matter of pride? Is it something you will discuss it as it comes up in a casual conversation, or what?
Yes, I feel very honored that what my dad has done in through my hereditary, you know. I think it's very interesting, and I'm very honored that I can have such a background. So, and I love to talk about it. So.
How about on your mother's side? Where do they come? What's the ethnic breakdown there?
Well, my mother's from Scotland.
So my father.
It's quite interesting there, too. I mean, her whole family lives in Scotland, so it's totally different background, too.
Are her relatives still in Scotland?
Yes.
Have you visited them?
I was there when I was too young to remember, so I haven't been back since.
Would you like to go back?
Yes, I would, but I think I'd like to visit China before I would Scotland, because I've heard so much about China.
Does your father still have relatives there?
Yes. His mother still lives in China.
When you were in high school, there was one level of discipline to contend with. And in college, there may be a different kind. Are you aware of any difference there in terms of what's required in terms of self-discipline? I mean, what pressures, what new pressures do you feel in college that perhaps you didn't feel in high school?
Oh, there's all kinds of pressures. you have to be really determined and self-disciplined to academically, for one, because if you're not disciplined, you have no one else there pressuring you, and I mean, as far as you know, you could not do anything, and then you'd be in trouble.
There's no one over your shoulder.
No.
To say do it, or no one to slap your wrist.
Exactly. I mean, you have to be really determined, and you have to set up your own schedule to say, I have to do this, and I can't do this. And it can be easily influenced. It's real hard to sit there and study while everybody else is out playing softball. Or it's hard to study when it's nice and sunny out and everybody's out laying outside.
But you manage to do it.
Sometimes you give in, but I've been trying as hard as I can. It's really hard because it's so easy to give in a lot of times, but you have to just wake up and realize that if you don't discipline yourself, when the test comes around or the grades come around, you're going to be really sorry. You have to think about the consequences if you don't.
How are you doing academically? Pretty good?
I'm
passing everything?
I'm not failing. I'm not doing as well as I want to. But I'm trying really hard. I mean, I want to bring out my grades. So.
Does your roommate try and lure you out of the room to go do something crazy when you want to study? Is he a problem?
Well, not as much as my roommate, because he seems to have, we get along personality great, but he has his friends and his habits, and I'm just a different person than him. I seem to have other friends, and I like to do other things than him.
Like what? What do you do for amusement?
I'm an outdoor person. Love sports, and he seems to not enjoy sports that much.
What sports do you like?
Let's see, I love tennis. It can vary. I mean, I love to play like softball, football, frisbee, swim. I love water sports.
Well, there's this one question. The Division of Student Affairs prepared a student profile in 1987, and they gave out questionnaires to undergraduates, and they asked these undergraduates to check off certain A, B, C, or D. No, excuse me. They asked them to indicate whether or not they needed improvement in certain areas. One area was the ability to listen to others, the ability to give and receive love, the ability to get along with others, etc. And about 50% of the students said they needed no improvement in these various areas. First of all, what is your reaction to the students who said they needed no improvement in these areas?
I believe that they are probably lying to themselves, because everybody needs improvement somehow or another. And no one knows exactly, say, how to love others perfectly. And they may be thinking that they're not, that they may take the question more as they don't love, but I do think that everybody could improve somewhere or another.
But isn't the question clear? I mean, if you have a question on a questionnaire which says, do you feel that you need any improvement in the ability to listen to others, how can that question be? I mean, how can that be misinterpreted? What's going on in the minds of those students?
I guess that they just believe that they're not making mistakes and that they are open and they think they know what they're doing, but I don't believe that because, I mean, they're going to make mistakes all through life. And if you believe you don't need improvement in somewhere, you wouldn't be making any mistakes.
I happen to agree with your point of view, but what puzzles me is why such a large percentage of students could be so completely dishonest with themselves. What is this? Is it the cockiness of youth? What's going on?
It could be cockiness, or they could just be afraid that they don't feel that they could be afraid to learn, possibly, or maybe they're afraid of what's real.
One thing I can do is make a transcript of this tape and give it to you so that 10 years from now you can pull it out of a chest of drawers in order to gain an insight in how you were thinking back in college. With that in mind, project yourself forward to that time when you're rummaging through an old stack of papers from college days and you come across this transcript. With that in mind, is there anything that you would, anything at all related to your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations that you would like to say that you could read about 10 years from now?
I like to consider myself as very determined to reach whatever goals I have if they change, or very hardworking.
Anything else?
That's all I could think of right now.
Could you be a little more explicit about the goal that you hope to reach?
I wish to be able to learn as much as possible and start a career and work through my career and reach the best I can in career I obtain, and be able to live well, enjoy life.
Well, it sounds like you're very clear, Brian. You're remarkably well-adjusted for a freshman. When I was your age, I was walking around in a state of confusion. Either that or you are an absolute master of covering up your feelings. And I don't think that that's the case. Either that or maybe you've completely fooled me in this interview. I don't know. I don't think you have, though. Well, shall we wrap it up, then?
Sounds good.